Hey, Mike Baker here. Look, you've probably heard me talk about supply chain problems before on the PDB. I mean, we've all gotten used to having instant access to just about everything, right? It's 2024, and you would think that we'd be able to get our hands on anything at any time. But as folks have discovered, that's not always the case when it comes to medical needs. And what's more important than access to medical needs? And that's why we all need to be prepared. Well, let me tell you about something that can help you be prepared in case the medicines you need are hard to come by. And frankly, look, we've had record numbers of medication shortages this year already. Introducing the JASE case, J-A-S-E, the JASE case. It's your personalized emergency medication kit with five essential antibiotics addressing common and deadly bacterial infections. Look, this is just common sense. Everyone should have life-saving medications on hand before an emergency. And getting a JASE case is simple. I've done it. It could not be easier. Just fill out the online form at JASE.com. From online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery, ongoing consultation and care, JASE handles it all. Visit JASE.com and use code Mike, that's M-I-K-E, probably just as you thought, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your order. Again, that's JASE, J-A-S-E.com. And use code Mike. Don't wait until it's too late. Today's episode is brought to you by Beam. Now transform your sleep with Beam's Dream. As you know, it's the secret behind 15 million nights of improved sleep. And who doesn't want improved sleep? I'm telling you, you'll fall asleep faster, you'll stay asleep longer, and you'll wake up refreshed. Get up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/PDB and use the code PDB. It's Monday, 29 April. Welcome to the PDB Afternoon Bulletin. I'm Mike Baker, your eyes and ears on the world stage. Let's get briefed. First, Israeli officials are warning that the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue arrest warrants for high-ranking officials in Jerusalem, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, on charges related to the war in Gaza. We'll discuss the unprecedented action and what it means for Israel's ongoing operations. Now, there's an outside chance that the ICC could also issue arrest warrants for the leadership of Hamas, most of whom are living in the lap of luxury in Qatar and not difficult for process servers to find. Also, we'll return to our coverage of the anti-Israel protests, which continue to garner praise from Islamic extremists in the Middle East, as Colombia says negotiations with demonstrators have once again hit a dead end. Well, that could be because Colombia administrators are spineless. Okay, maybe that's not fair. It's probably just because, I don't know, they're fearful of taking action and being consumed by the hard-left anti-Semitic mob. Oh, wait, that's the same thing as being spineless. But first, our afternoon spotlight. Concern is mounting inside Israel that the International Criminal Court, the ICC, is preparing to issue arrest warrants for government officials related to their offensive operations in Gaza following the 7 October attacks by Hamas. Five Israeli and foreign officials, speaking on the condition of anonymity, told the New York Times that they expect the charges to be handed down imminently by the ICC and believe the court will accuse Israeli officials of willfully preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza and engaging in an excessively harsh response to the excessively medieval and brutal 7 October attacks. Officials inside Jerusalem are particularly concerned that the court will target Prime Minister Netanyahu and other senior cabinet ministers. Aside from being seen as a moral rebuke to Israel internationally, any warrants issued by the ICC could significantly impact Israel's decision-making as the conflict drags on. For one, it would make travel for Israeli officials somewhat dicey to any of the 124 countries that are members of the ICC, as they could theoretically be detained. This includes most of Europe, as well as Japan and Australia. Analysts say that arrest warrants from the ICC would also likely cause allied countries to possibly curtail support to Israel, possibly reducing weapons transfers and decreasing diplomatic visits, further isolating leaders in Jerusalem. An expert in international law told Reuters the action would, quote, make it more difficult for Western liberal democracies to engage with Israel, end quote. According to the Times report, the threat of ICC charges has already impacted internal deliberations by Israel in recent weeks. In addition to the charges being prepared against Israeli officials, reports indicate the ICC may also issue arrest warrants for leaders of Hamas, though it is unclear which leaders might be targeted. Well, how about, I don't know, all of them? Frankly, it would be remarkable if the ICC actually issues arrest warrants for the Hamas leaders. On the surface, it would seem obvious. Hamas engaged in well-documented brutalities that, by all accounts, constitute war crimes. But moral clarity may not be the ICC's strong point. They take after the UN in that regard. The ICC, based in The Hague, has the power to issue charges for war crimes, or genocide, or other crimes against humanity, but it lacks any enforcement mechanism. We should also note that Israel and the U.S. are not members, and are therefore not bound by any decisions that come out of the court. While officials with the ICC have yet to comment on the reports, leaders in Israel have made it clear that they will not bow to the dictates of foreign observers. As the reports began to emerge in Israel on Friday, Netanyahu said that such an action by the ICC, quote, would set a dangerous precedent that threatens the soldiers and officials of all democracies fighting savage terrorism and wanton aggression, end quote. Netanyahu continued, Israel will never accept any attempt by the ICC to undermine its inherent right of self-defense. The threat to seize the soldiers and officials of the Middle East's only democracy and the world's only Jewish state is outrageous, and we will not bow to it, end quote. Coming up after the break, we'll give you the latest on the anti-Israel protests sweeping the country, which continue to delight and draw support from Middle Eastern leaders, as administrators at Columbia University hit a brick wall in their negotiations with demonstrators. I'll be right back.
Who is there for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who is helping our nation's homeless veterans? And who is helping our nation keep its vow to never forget 9/11? I'll tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's In the Line of Duty programs honor our nation's heroes and their families. That includes its Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings and barbecues, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is helping to educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. This charity keeps its word and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Hey, Mike Baker here. Well, spring is in full swing, and for millions of folks, that means yard work and gardening, am I right? Now, here's a pro tip for those of you looking to spruce up your landscaping. Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the U.S. They've got over 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. Save yourself the time and trouble of multiple trips to those crowded nurseries. You know what I'm talking about. Fast Growing Trees is a complete time saver. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all, and it's delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. They can tell you what grows best in your area, how to plant, when to plant. It's like having your own expert gardener. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And listeners to the President's Daily Brief can get an extra 15% off by using promo code PDB at checkout. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and use promo code PDB at checkout.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Bulletin. Returning to our ongoing coverage of the anti-Israel protests on college campuses, the president of Columbia University says negotiations with student protesters have stalled. In an email to the Columbia community this morning, University President Minush Shafik stated that talks with student organizers had failed to reach an agreement. She went on to say that despite calls from protesters, the school will not divest from Israel. Shafik also addressed the impact that the protests are having on the university's Jewish students. She wrote, quote, I know that many of our Jewish students and other students as well have found the atmosphere intolerable in recent weeks. Many have left campus, and that is a tragedy. To those students and their families, I want to say clearly, you are a valued part of the Columbia community, end quote. Meanwhile, it appears that a number of Democrats in Washington, D.C. have had enough of the ongoing protests and are now beginning to exert some pressure on school administrators. In a letter to the university's Board of Trustees, first obtained by Axios, 21 House Democrats wrote of their, quote, disappointment that, despite promises to do so, Columbia University has not yet disbanded the unauthorized and impermissible encampment of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish activists on campus, end quote. The lawmakers, led by Representatives Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey and Dan Goldman of New York, have called on the university to disband the encampment and ensure the safety and security of all its students. But while House Democrats are growing frustrated with Columbia's inaction, their protests continue to draw the attention and support of leaders in the Middle East. Now, here's one. Many of you probably remember the name Muqtada al-Sadr. He's an Iraqi cleric who made a name for himself back in the early 2000s. His Shia militia, the Mahdi Army, was one of the first Iranian proxy groups to emerge in Iraq following the ouster of Saddam Hussein. They went on to wreak complete havoc in the country, targeting both coalition troops and Iraqi security forces. The group was eventually brought to heel, but al-Sadr remains a prominent figure among Iraq's Shia community. And apparently, he's taken a keen interest in free speech on U.S. college campuses. I mean, as long as that free speech is anti-Semitic. According to a report in the Jerusalem Post, al-Sadr has called for the U.S. to, quote, put a halt to the crackdown on voices advocating for peace and freedom. He said, the voice of American universities demanding an end to Zionist terrorism is our voice, end quote. Oh, isn't that nice? Well, how proud must the parents of these protesting students be? First, the despotic Iranian regime praises them, and now Muqtada al-Sadr, who's got a tremendous amount of blood on his hands, he sends them a thank you card. Now, just a thought, but if Islamic extremists who openly call for the destruction of Israel and the death of Jews, and who trample constantly on women's rights and LGBTQ rights and the right to protest inside their own countries, if they're praising your actions, well, maybe take a break from your slogan shouting and your pretend refugee camp to rethink your position. Now, again, most of the actual students involved are just useful idiots for the larger forces at play here. These protests are funded and coordinated and fueled by outside actors. But at some point, campus administrators need to start acting like grown-ups. Quit worrying about whether they'll lose woke points with a hard-left mob and enforce existing rules. And where protesters, whether students or faculty, employees, or outside activists, are breaking the law, trespassing, vandalism, whatever, then they need to remind the protesters that actions actually have consequences, even if the Ayatollah is cheering them on. And that, my friends, is the PDB Afternoon Bulletin for Monday, 29 April. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me at pdb@thefirsttv.com. And if you want to listen to the show ad-free, be sure to check out our premium membership at pdbpremium.com. I'm Mike Baker. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay informed, stay safe, stay cool.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.